Hey everyone, welcome to Becker's Payer Podcast. I'm Morgan Hapner, an editor with Becker's Hospital Review, and your host today. I'm so excited to have Steve Hammond, president of Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Illinois, joining us from Chicago as the first ever guest on Becker's Payer Podcast. Steve, how are you doing?
I'm well, thank you.
Good. And before we dive into our four questions today around COVID-19 and some financial trends you're seeing in the health insurance field, I'd like the audience to get to know a bit about your background. You've spent nearly 30 years at Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Illinois and its parent company, Healthcare Service Corp. First of all, congrats on that impressive run, Steve. Let me ask, what were the biggest changes to the payer landscape you witnessed over that period?
Sure. Thank you. I appreciate that. And in fact, it's just coming on 29 years. I think if you say 30 years, it makes me sound really old. So just want to make sure that clarification. as far as the biggest changes, a lot happens obviously over 29 years, but I would start with the expansion of access to care. Both the proliferation of alternative sites of care and the Affordable Care Act even have enabled us to expand access to care to every zip code and population demographic across the entire state of Illinois. The second thing I would say that we've seen is a large increase in the provider partnerships and value-based care. The increased focus on payer-provider collaboration and aligned incentives in improving health outcomes and lowering costs. The last two I would say is probably the rise in consumerism. It's just a tremendous amount of information available to help consumers take greater ownership of their care, including information that helps them select providers. And then last, and some would say, probably most importantly, is this increased focus on health disparities and social determinants of health. Essentially, the recognition that your zip code is often more important than your genetic code.
Absolutely. And that last one, the focus on social determinants of health and inequalities have definitely been shown very clearly by our current pandemic that's going on. And my next question revolves around COVID-19. And I'd like to hear about some of the unique pressures that Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Illinois has faced during this pandemic.
Yeah, well, it's been quite the impact on all of us, certainly. But I would say, it started with, a crush of stakeholders under pressure. This was the first time in recent history where we needed to provide real-time, urgent responses to providers, members, employer groups, and the government, all of whom are experiencing significant challenges, all of whom needing us to adapt quickly to help meet their needs. So, for us, to pivot our focus on real-time expansion of telehealth was, first and foremost. We were preparing for a broad expansion of telehealth benefits this year, and COVID-19 effectively afforded us the opportunity to quickly launch those needed services to allow members access to care from the safety of their own home. Then I would say, the kind of real-time response to provider and member challenges. For example, prior authorizations related to COVID-19 was a challenge that we needed to quickly mediate. Pharmacy refills for members, expanding coverage, and lowering cost barriers for COVID testing and diagnosis, just to name a few. But essentially, if it impacts the members and providers, it's a payer issue too. And, kind of an emerging situation we're looking at is the long-term impacts of delayed care. Essentially, those people who didn't seek care for non-COVID issues, during the first couple months of the pandemic. In fact, our data shows that diagnostic tests, colonoscopies, for example, from mid-March through May were down 71% from the same period last year. And as we know, early detection and treatment is so important for cancer. So getting the message out to those most vulnerable is critically important right now.
It really is. And it is a situation that is so unclear at this point, and data will get emerging and paint a picture of what's going on. But yeah, that real-time urgency, you're right, it is a payer issue as well. I have a follow-up question that's more related to finances. So far, commercial payers' finances have been pretty unscathed by COVID-19. Of course, that varies across the board, but at least compared to their hospital and health system counterparts. And to be fair, many commercial payers have rolled out programs, like you said, expanding telehealth and prior authorization programs that help providers in advance payments. And many will have to send out premiums too. So I was wondering if you could talk a little bit more about what Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois is doing when it comes to this financial pressure that hospitals and their members are facing.
Sure, absolutely. So while some of the factors that impact finances are becoming more clear, for example, the utilization drop, COVID treatment, testing costs, delayed care, vaccinations, et cetera, the timing, duration, and magnitudes of COVID-19 are still very much uncertain. Thus, the long-term net effect is still very much an unknown, and we are expecting some continued industry volatility. That said, we deeply value our relationships with providers and hospitals, and we acknowledge that this is a trying time for all stakeholders as our healthcare system collectively responds to the pandemic. But we continue to evolve our response as needs arise. Our main focus remains supporting those local provider partners in their speed to deliver needed care, while increasing access for our members. So we've done a number of things thus far. And, that includes, we did provide accelerated payments to our hospital partners as part of our longstanding reimbursement arrangements with them. We've extended premium payment grace periods to our customers. As I mentioned earlier, increasing access to virtual health across our networks and products, waiving member cost sharing, making it easier to transfer members to post-acute care, allowed for early pharmacy refills, extended prior authorization on previously approved procedures, and even simplifying the credentialing process to support the addition of necessary providers to address the public health emergency. So a number of things that we've done in response.
Exactly. And what I think is going to be interesting, you raise a really good point about how the testing costs of vaccine, total expenses, is still a lot of it is up in the air right now. I just have one more question around finances. So far, things have been indicated that some national payers will be seeing, again, record-setting years. And I'm curious about your thoughts. If there will be, do you think that health insurers will face additional societal pressure to do more with those big profits should the year turn out to be another record-breaking one for them?
It's important to start by recognizing and deciding, to whom should the value of any lower utilization accrue. So for that, it's an easy answer. That's the member. Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois is a mutual legal reserve company, and we're non-investor-owned and not publicly traded. So this allows us to focus on, more long-term investments our member needs, and also to reinvest in the communities in which we serve. And we've got a nearly 85-year history of focusing on investments that does benefit our members and that long-term perspective that promotes the entire healthcare system and not just the position of our company. So, a perfect example of that is when we entered the ACA market and never left, despite losing lots of money in those early years, while serving every single county in Illinois. So we're not just focused on big population centers, or we're not just focused where we might gain the most profit, if you will, but really having a focus on the communities across the entire state. And that's what really separates us from a lot of our competitors. But during the pandemic, particularly in the early parts of it, when we spoke to our community partners, it became clear that they were all in need of immediate help to continue providing the critical health programs and resources that those communities needed. So to support those needs, we created, the Blue Cross of Illinois kind of COVID-19 Community Collaboration Fund. And this was a $1.5 million rapid response funding program that supported 75 different community-based organizations across the state with missions focused on the basics of access to healthcare, hunger, and shelter. So, you know, it's things like that, as well as, you know, so we'll be also kind of later this year opening our second and third, what we call Blue Door Neighborhood Centers by the end of the year. These are community assets, you know, aimed to impact the community health on a hyper-local level by providing face-to-face engagement in those neighborhoods aimed at helping residents optimize their health. So these centers provide education on, for example, chronic condition management, health promotion, social determinants of health assessments, and then importantly, coordination with local resources and essentially improving the overall well-being and self-sufficiency of those local communities. So the bottom line is that, you know, we're looking to return the value to our customers through a number of mechanisms. And beyond those I mentioned, and as we continue to watch this pandemic unfold, could take the form of potential credits or rebates this year or lower premium increases in 2021, tailored funding arrangements for some of our self-insured customers, and generally just helping to reduce the financial burden so many are facing today.
You bring up a good point about the community response and long-term investments in those partnerships. I've heard that from a lot of organizations, whether they be hospitals or health insurers, about that, looking toward the future, that so many more partnerships are going to be made with community organizations. So interesting to hear that from you as well. And switching gears for my last question for you, I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit. Sky's the limit. What changes would you make to the commercial payer system today?
That's it's a great question. And, you know, somewhat of a softball, I guess. You know, I would say, broadly, as an industry, you know, we have to create more value for the member. And that's, you know, do that by increasing access to quality, affordable healthcare while helping them optimize their health in a simple and intuitive way. So I would say there's three primary investments that we're making at Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois to make this happen. And the first is choice. You know, there is no one size fits all in healthcare. So we're constantly refining a broad portfolio of product options for our customers. The needs and priorities, for example, are very different between, let's say, a tech-savvy millennial searching for basic, affordable individual coverage and that of a large multi-state manufacturing employer looking for comprehensive coverage as a competitive advantage to attract and retain talent. And so broadly, there's a concept in the industry called the iron triangle of cost, access, and quality. The simple premise is that one of those three cannot be improved without negatively impacting one or both the other. So for example, if cost is the priority of a particular customer, often access may decrease as the customer will not be able to go to all physicians and hospitals, and quality may be neutral in that scenario. Similarly, if quality is the highest priority in value equation, access may suffer as all providers may not meet high quality thresholds. So while there are inherent trade-offs within this iron triangle, everyone has a different value perspective on what's most important to them. So having product options that meet the needs of our diverse customers is critical. The second thing I would say is to eliminate what I would call the perverse fee-for-service payment system. We need to be paying for improvements in health status and paying for health outcomes. It's essentially hard to believe we're shocked at the unsustainable trajectory of healthcare costs while we continue to pay for each service performed, regardless of efficacy or outcome. And you know, I would say I liken the healthcare industry to that of the auto industry. There's not one auto manufacturer that does not believe the future is electric autonomous cars. There are significant manufacturing and infrastructure investments that need to be made to transition from gas-powered cars to electric autonomous cars. Yet, auto manufacturers today are straddling two worlds by still producing a 2021 gas car model with an extra cup holder and Apple Play, you know, while continuing to make strides and investments on their electric car models for, you know, the future, say the year 2024. So that tipping point is going to come when those gas stations are replaced by charging stations. Likewise, all health industry leaders know that value-based care is the future, and material investments are being made for that infrastructure. But I feel that we're at the tipping point right now for value-based care and aligned incentives. And inevitably, when we completely rid our systems of fee-for-service, there will be providers left behind as material new value is created in those emerging payment models, and all that patient volume shifts to those providers who have made that investment and transition. The third thing I would say where we're making the biggest investments are in leveraging technology. Arguably, technology has been the greatest driver of improved performance in all industries over the last decade, with healthcare being the possible one exception. So there's three areas within technology that I think, you know, the most value can be created. The first one is quite simply electronic medical records and clinical data exchange. Right now, we're embarking on breakthrough opportunities with our provider partnership. And this includes, let's say, you know, the real-time exchange of actionable medical record data at the time of service. And that, we believe, can transform the way care is delivered. And this will not only eliminate unnecessary, wasteful care that just burdens all of us, but also can help improve the health outcomes to a degree we have not yet seen. The second part of technology is within, you know, mobile devices and patient engagement. The pandemic, you know, the impact on virtual health and the emergence of virtual health and e-visits, for example, was totally unexpected, but has immediately shown the value of both cost and convenience to the patient. So beyond routine visits and immediately expanding access to expertise literally across the country, the power of AI to tailor to individual member needs for them to optimize their health in a way that's customizable the way that they want will unleash yet another huge wave of new value. And the third part around technology is really harnessing the data, organizing and using the masses of data for predictive modeling holds such great promise for new clinical insights and expanding the reach of evidence-based medicine. And these insights will also allow for the entree and scale of personalized medicine, which I would say the value of which is just immeasurable for the prevention of so many diseases. So I'd say increasing choice, transforming how we pay for care, and leveraging technology are the three primary areas I suggest will create sustainable new value for the industry.
Well, iron triangles and cars, I did not expect to come up in this conversation, but I really enjoy your blueprint that you laid out. And I agree, those changes would be great to see if we could have a magic wand and change things overnight.
Hopefully, it won't be overnight. We hope to see it soon.
Yes, hopefully soon. Steve, thank you again for chatting with me today. I hope you enjoy the rest of your day in Chicago and that you and all of our listeners out there stay safe.
I appreciate it. Thanks again for the opportunity.